I want you to turn in your Bibles, and we're not going to read from there right now, but we will in a few minutes. We'll be looking at several verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you keep your Bibles open and look back over there, I'll tell you just when we get there in just a little bit. You know, there's an old story that's told about the devil having a garage sale. And he had it all laid out on tables, all the tools that he used in his trade. And there was a lot of different things on the tables in the devil's garage sale. Different shapes, different sizes. And they, you know, some of them looked very effective. But they were all marked with just a dime, 15 cents, 20 cents. They were all marked very cheaply. Except for one very common-looking wedge that was well-worn from all its usage. And somebody went up to the devil and said, well, why are you selling all your tools so cheaply except this tool right here, which doesn't look very valuable, which doesn't look very sneaky, which doesn't look like it compares to all the other ones in value? Why is that one marked not for sale? And all the other ones are for sale for so cheap a price. And the devil said, that is my most valuable tool. The name of it is called discouragement. And once I drive it into a person's heart, and once I get them discouraged, I can accomplish anything I want to in their life. And that's why that verse that we read as our text tonight is so important, where the Bible says there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. And what that word weary means, let us not become discouraged in well-doing, for we will reap if we faint not. And that's the title of my message, and the theme of my message tonight is faint not. Faint not. The word fainting is used in the Bible many, many times. Used in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it has a bunch of different meanings, but they all come back to the same root meaning, so to speak. If you get your Strong's Concordance out and you look at all the times that it appears in the Bible, here's some of the things that it means. The word faint means to work to the point where you are intensely weary or intensely tired. It means to cave in, just give in. It means to quit. It's used in the Old Testament to mean, it means to take a position of relaxation in war. It means, another time, it means to wrap yourself in self-pity. And I could go on and give you other ways that it's used in the Bible, but it all gets down to the same thing. Whether you work yourself to that state, or whether you get discouraged to that state, or whether you let circumstance get you to that state, what it means to faint is just like when we use the word today. When somebody faints, they pass out, they lose consciousness. And that's what it means in a spiritual sense, too. You pass out. You quit. You're not effective anymore. And again, it's caused by several things. People can get so physically exhausted. I mean, they just work and they don't know how to keep their life in balance between working and rest, that if you're not careful, you'll get so physically wore out and tired that you'll faint. Another thing that's caused by it, and another thing that causes it is emotional stress. Stress that's in our life that causes us to worry, causes us to get discouraged, causes us to faint. Sometimes people have fainted in the Bible because they've responded the wrong way to God dealing in their life. You just think about the story of Jonah, for example. He was reproved by God twice in the four chapters that make up the book of Jonah. In the second chapter, when he was in the belly of the whale, or the big fish, the whale, and God was reproving him, he responded the right way. God said, hey, I told you to go to Nineveh and preach. You went the opposite direction. Now you're in the belly of this well for 3 days and three nights, like a roller coaster, dark, stinking. You know, sometimes we need to think about what people went through in the Bible, and just the real practical. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights? I mean, I don't think the whale went down to the bottom of the ocean, sat on the bottom. I think he was swimming all around, and Jonah was thrown around in that seaweed and yuck that was in the belly of the whale. I think it stunk. I think it was dark. I think he was miserable, and he repented and said, hey, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And the whale vomited him out, and he went running to Nineveh and preached and had a great revival. I mean, the city turned to God. And he went out on the side of the city and sat down and pouted. He said, God, I told this is. He said, God, this is exactly what I told you would happen. Though you should punish those people, and you've forgiven them. I told you, you just can't help it. Your mercy is so great. God made a memory. He made a gourd. It was hot. The sun was beating down, and he made a gourd to grow over Jonah to give him some shade. And Jonah was grateful for the gourd. And then God said a little worm to eat at the gourd, and it died. And Jonah was upset. And God came to him. And he said, "Hey, you're upset over this gourd that just came yesterday, and yet I was good to the people of Nineveh." And I can't remember the exact number, but a big number of children, people that couldn't tell the difference between their right and their left, I spared them, and you had no pity on them. And I don't know what happened to Jonah after that. We don't read about him anywhere else after that. But I think he fainted. I think he didn't. He responded okay the first time, but the second time when God was dealing with him, he didn't respond the right way. And sometimes people faint because they don't respond the right way to God dealing with them. And so, faint not. It's a message that it's appropriate for every single person, because this is a malady that can hit every single one of us. Doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter how young we are. We will faint if we're not careful. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul gives us four things that we can do to help us prevent fainting. And by the way, if there's anybody that had a right to faint, it was probably the Apostle Paul. I mean, you just look at what went on in his life after he got saved. I mean, it seems like he was in more distress or stress, however you want to say it, than probably anybody else in the Bible other than Jesus himself. I mean, he was misunderstood, misquoted, maligned more than any other man, as I read about it in the Bible, other than Christ. And he faced hardships. I mean, he talks about it in this book that we're in right here, 2 Corinthians. He says, hey, I've been cold, I've been hungry, I've been shipwrecked. Besides that, the care of all the churches, he was responsible for looking out for all the young churches that he started. And yet, in the Scripture, now Paul got off base a couple times. I mean, He did some things that if we were going to judge him, and I'm not tonight, but if we were going to judge him, we'd probably say, Paul, you probably shouldn't have done that. But you never find Paul fainting. At the end of his life, he said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. And I think if he was here tonight, he'd say, and we could ask him, Paul, did you ever get discouraged? He'd probably say, yes, I did. There were some times I got discouraged, but I didn't faint. If we could ask him, Paul, did you ever get tired? He said, I got tired of lots of times, but I never stopped. Did you ever want to quit, Paul? Yeah, there were times where I wanted to quit, but I didn't. And here's the four things that I did that kept me going. Four things that will work in every single one of our lives. And they're all in this fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Number one, he kept his eye on his ministry. He kept his eye on his ministry. Verse 1 there. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Here's what Paul was saying. Hey, I am a recipient of God's mercy. He says, I'm a sinner. In fact, over in the book of Timothy, I can't remember if it's first or second, he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. And there's a penalty for that sin. Paul would say, hey, if anybody deserved to go to hell, it was me, because I was the chiefest of sinners. But God showed his mercy to me. He did not give me what I deserved. I deserved hell because I was a sinner. But God spared me from hell, and God showed me his grace because he saved me when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Paul told his testimony three times in the book of Acts. He says, I was on the road to Damascus. I saw that great light. It blinded me, and I knew I'd met the Lord. And he called him Lord, and as we talked about a couple weeks ago, what do you want me to do? And he got saved on the road to Damascus, and he got called on the road to Damascus. Well, maybe not. Maybe he got called after he got into Damascus. I think that's right. When Ananias came to him and put his hands on his eyes and said, Saul, God sent me to you. He sent me to restore your sight. And he sent me to tell you that he's called you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, that's my ministry. I am not going to faint because God has called me to preach the gospel of his dear son. If I faint, if I quit, somebody might not hear about Jesus. Somebody might die without knowing him. Somebody might go to hell. And to put it in today's vernacular, Paul would say, not on my watch. I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to be faithful to the ministry that God has called me, and I am going to tell people about Jesus. That's why he said, I become all things to all men, so that by all means I can save some. Did he get tired? Yeah. Did he get discouraged? At times. Did he want to quit? Probably. I don't know, but probably. But he says, I have been the recipient of God's mercy. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. He's called me to tell people about Jesus. I can't quit. And when we get that same attitude, when we are discouraged and we get tired, when we want to quit and we want to lay down on the job, so to speak, let's remember that somebody might not hear the old gospel story if we quit. Let's remember that somebody's eternity might depend on us keeping on. Let's just keep on going. And remember and keep in mind the ministry that God's called us to. Number two, how did Paul keep going? He realized that it wasn't him that was doing it, it was God working through him. Look at verse 7, that same chapter. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. May be of God and not of us. Paul says, hey, I'm just a weak, limited, earthen vessel. I will get tired. I will get discouraged. There will be times that I will want to quit. But he says, it's not me that's doing it. I'm not the power behind what's happening. I'm just the vessel that God is using. It's God that's doing the work. It's God that's the power behind everything that's happening in my life. Again, in today's vernacular, Paul would say, I'm just a car. God's the gas. I'm just the train. God's the electricity. I'm just the airplane. God is the jet fuel. I'm just the vessel that God is using. Remember Paul's testimony. He said he had this thorn in the flesh. Many people think it was bad eyesight that resulted from his encounter on the road to Damascus. And he came to God three times. He says, God, I've got this problem. And if you take it away, if you fix it, if you remove this thorn in the flesh that I have, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher. I could be a better Christian. I could be a better whatever you want me to be. I could be better. Just take this away. God said, no way. If I take it away, you might start to think that you're doing it. I'm going to leave that weakness in your life so that you will remember it is not you, it is me. And so when we get to that point in our life, when we want to faint, when we want to quit, we need to remember like Paul did and glory in the weakness that we have, because that reminds us it's not our strength that we're doing it in, it's God's strength that we're doing it in. And that Psalm, I think it's Psalm 120, we have a God who never slumbers or sleeps. So he realized that it wasn't him, it was God. Number three, he realized that when trouble and heartaches came, they didn't come because God quit loving him. They came because God was still working on him, trying to make him more like Jesus. Look at verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, God loves us. God wants to fellowship with us. The more we become like Christ, the greater fellowship than we can have. And so God allows things to come into our life to mold us, to make us more like him. Verse 15, same chapter. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Sometimes we can see it. And what I mean by that, sometimes we can see in our life what God is trying to accomplish. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about the changes, some of the changes that have occurred in our life since we've been saved. And one of the things that I shared about my life is my temper, how God has worked on me. And I can see situations that, as I look back on my life, that God put me in where I wanted to lose my temper, and if I'd given way to my old nature, I would have done it. But God put me in situations where it would have really been hard to do it. I can remember one time getting so mad at my boss, I just wanted to tell him off. And that was God teaching me, because I knew, Brother Clint, you don't tell your boss off. And so I learned on that occasion to bite my tongue and just to simmer down, even though I was boiling on the inside. And so sometimes we can see what God's trying to work in our life. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can understand it. Sometimes we can't. But I want to remind you tonight that it's God that stands as the guardian of our life, and there is absolutely nothing that comes into our life unless the guardian says, okay, you can go by. Let me say that again. There is absolutely nothing that, you see, you might think, well, I think the devil can sort of sneak something in, and the devil can sort of get something by on God. No, he can't. No, he can't. There's absolutely not one thing that comes into our life that hasn't been allowed by God. And he's got a purpose for everything that he sends into our life. And that purpose is that we'll be made more like him. We'll be made more like Jesus. We'll be drawn closer to him, like we talked about this morning. And so Paul realized, you see, when circumstances come into our life, one of our natural tendencies is, well, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to faint. We don't say it, but that's what we mean. All these circumstances pile up. And when we realize in our mind, hey, God has allowed this. He's got a purpose for it. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to try to figure out what it is and let him accomplish it in my life. And then number four, Paul kept on and didn't faint because he wasn't looking at what he could see. He was looking at what he couldn't see. Look at verses 16, starting in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What Paul was saying is, hey, I'm not going to put my eyes on the circumstances that I can see that's going on in my life. I am not going to dwell on those. Some of us, if we would dwell on the circumstances in our life, we go home tonight, get in the bed, pull the covers over our head, and stay there. But you can't look at the circumstances that are going on in your life. You can't just look at the things that you can see. You got to look at the things that you can't see. You got to look at the eternal glory of God. You got to look at the eternal purpose of God. You got to look at what God's trying to accomplish. Brother Dick sang about it tonight when he sang about Beulah Land. I mean, he said, hey, I'm thinking about heaven. I'm thinking about what's going to be in heaven. I'm thinking about how it's going to be in heaven. Yeah, I know these circumstances are tough, and I know they're rough, and I know they're hurt. They hurt sometimes, and they're hardships, and they make us want to quit. But I am not going to keep my eyes on them. I'm going to keep my eyes on an eternal God that has an eternal purpose that He's trying to work out. And I tell you what, when we get to heaven, it will be worth it all. Amen? It will be worth it all. Yeah, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon, that's how you know he was a southerner, for I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us when we get to heaven. He said, this suffering, hey, look, it's not going to be anything in comparison to what we're going to get to enjoy in heaven. So Paul says, don't get weary, don't get discouraged in well-doing, because we will reap if we faint not. He said, here's what I do. Here's some of the things I do. I keep my eye on my ministry. I keep my eye on what God's called me to do. I realize it's not me that's doing it, it's God doing it through me. It's God's power. God's the power behind it. He says, I realize when problems come that they come because God wants them to come, and He's got a purpose. And that purpose is to make me more like Christ, to make me more usable. And Paul said, I'm not looking at the things I can see, I'm looking at the things that I can't see. By faith, I'm looking at what it's going to be like. I'm looking at the eternal purposes of God. And I hope that every single one of us can say, when we get to the end of our life, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. And I would just remind you tonight of that verse in Isaiah chapter 40 where the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the encouragement that comes from your word. Thank you for the practical advice that also comes from your word. And I pray that we would use Paul as our example tonight. I pray that when we get weary, as we will, when we get discouraged, as we will, when we want to quit, as we will, that we would keep our eye on what you've called us to do, our ministry. That we'd realize it's you, not us. That the circumstances come because you allow them. And one day it's going to be worth it all when we see you in heaven. So I pray tonight that you would strengthen us as Christians. You'd give us a greater resolve not to faint so that we can reap. And then, Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that hasn't been the recipient of your mercy and your grace because they've never received Christ, I pray right now in the next moment they would make that decision to receive Jesus. For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.